Well, good afternoon, everyone, and happy Sabbath. It's good to see some here this week that weren't able to be with us last week, and it's good to have you back. If we were to turn to Exodus chapter 20 or Deuteronomy 5, we would find God's Ten Commandments listed. A quick review of them summarized would remind us, we must not worship other gods before the true God. We shall not make idols of God. We shall not take God's name in vain. We shall remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember to honor our fathers and mothers. We shall not murder. We shall not commit adultery. We shall not steal. We shall not bear false witness. And we shall not covet. When Christ, Jesus Christ, was asked which of these commandments was the greatest, he artfully replied by appearing to divide all of the commandments into two logical parts. One part about our relationship with God, and the other about our relationship with each other. His answer at first appeared to choose one of those parts. The greatest is that of loving God. But let's go to the conversation and let's read it all the way through. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 22, Matthew chapter 22, we'll start in verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, that Jesus Christ had silenced them, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." So we could stop there. And it sounds like there's a commandment that is greater than all other commandments, right? It makes sense. He's God. But let's go on. Let's go ahead and continue with what he continues to say in verse 39. "And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Verse 40, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now that word "like," it means literally similar, okay, in the Greek. But it's also often used figuratively or poetically. We do that a lot in our society. For instance, the old phrase from an old song, "My love is like a red, red rose." It's a beautiful picture of the beauty of the person he loves compared to what everybody also agrees is beautiful, a beautiful red rose. His love isn't a rose, right? The rose isn't a human. They really aren't the same, but he was likening a quality of beauty to both things. Well, in this case, this word "like" is not figurative, it's literal. And it means similar. And just so we know that this is true, let's go ahead and go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 10. Verse 10, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of offending all points of the law. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. But if you do not commit adultery, yet if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. I kind of think of, does anybody ever look at some of the laws as like, oh, well, I know they're all wrong, but this one's, not as bad. Well, I coveted my neighbor's boat, but I didn't murder anybody, right? Okay, well, we do that. We naturally reason it, but what does this say? What did we just read? And what is the consequence of either action? Okay, and that's not even about God. That's about loving your neighbor. Well, actually, this equation, this similarity, this saying they are the same, actually really exists in the commandments themselves, though it may not be so easy to see right away. This love towards God and love towards neighbor, being together. The first three commandments provide specifically clear definitions of love by the individual for God. The last five commandments provide specifically clear definition of love by the individual for neighbor. You'll notice I've left 4 and 5 out for the moment. Commandments 4 and 5, keeping the Sabbath and honoring your parents, however, have a family or community component to them. The commandment cannot be fulfilled, either one of them, if I don't participate with my brethren in worshiping God. I participate in devaluing the family of God, because part of the command is to assemble. If I disregard honoring my parents, I contribute to the breakdown of my own family. And just to make sure we know this, because if we were to go to Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, we wouldn't see the command to assemble. But we would if we went to Leviticus 23 and verse 3. And you don't need to turn there, but it does say, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, which we've already heard, which was already commanded. But it also says a holy convocation, like what we're doing today. Okay, we're keeping the Sabbath, not because we're resting and assembling as a family. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. In a sense, keeping the Sabbath as a holy convocation, you must interact with fellow human beings in your practiced relationship with God. It pulls into that godly relationship, commandments 5 through 10, all at the same time. In honoring our parents, as our family structure is a shadow of the godly family structure, it pulls the first 4 commandments in about honoring God into the human relationship. You can learn a little bit about honoring your parents by looking at what it means to honor God. Putting your parents first above yourself and making sure you a child may not have some trouble with this. Don't idolize your parents at the same time, because you'll notice that it says honor your parents. It doesn't say obey them. And there's a reason, because someone could be a bad parent. They could be doing something wrong and wanting their child to do something wrong. And God doesn't command them to obey. Now, we could go look at some things Paul says, where he tells the children of the saved, where he tells the children of the church, obey your parents. This is good in the sight of the Lord. And he says that based on that criteria, that you have a converted parent who is trying to follow God. So what we get from this is what I'm trying to show here is the equation, the equality of loving the Lord your God and loving your neighbor as yourself. See, if you break any of them, doesn't matter where they're at in the Ten Commandments, you're immediately turning that equal sign into an unequal sign. Okay, or a greater than or a less than sign if you like math. So you break one, you break them all. And I already brought up the comparison of murder and coveting. We can have a tendency to naturally put a value of one commandment over another and help ourselves through that. You know, oh, well, I'm not so bad. I did that one. I didn't do that one. You know, okay. Well, see, God is not a respecter of anybody, any person. No distinction is made in the form of love. Now, of course, God is perfect. He's spirit. He's eternal. We're imperfect. We're flesh. We're mortal. We're flawed. I mean, there's no comparison of the persons of the Godhead and the family. There's if a person is sinning, you run from their sin. You don't accept sin. But we're talking about love, caring for others, showing respect, and the qualities that all are in all the Ten Commandments towards God and others. So God is not a respecter of persons. He loves you as much as He loves Jesus. The Father loves you just as much as loves Jesus. Jesus loves Him as much as He loves you. And you can put it all, we should be loving you, each other, as much as we love God. Okay? That is what God has designed the commandments to teach us. God is spirit. I've already said that. So as we remember the words of Christ, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, think about it. You could, you know, what I naturally do is I tag certain of the commandments under that expression of loving God. And then I tag the rest of them under that expression of loving your neighbor. And then you've got all of the law and the prophets that embellish upon that, kind of dropping down below it. And that's fine. It's good. But in truth, as far as value goes, they're together. They're intertwined. And all of the law and prophets fall under that. Okay, so let us remember that like means literally similar. That the equation is equal. When it comes to love, similar means the same.